Thank you all for coming out. Welcome to Wednesday night service at Grace Community Church. And thank you for tuning in online if you're watching online. If this is your first time watching, my name is Wade, and we're glad you're watching. Let me pray for us, and I'll just get right into the message. We're getting started a little bit late tonight. Father, I just thank you for another opportunity to get up here and share your word, share what you've laid on my heart this week. I really think this is a message that could help all of us, Lord. So I just pray for every heart and every mind that they would be willing to receive what's said here tonight, God. And I just pray that you'd help us to not only receive it, but to apply it to our lives, God, so that we can see the fruit that comes from it. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we just turn this over to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we'll just get right in here. Last week, we talked about clouds with no water or clouds with no rain. And I showed you some verses last week that talked about what that's talking about is people that make big promises, you know, for the church or in the name of God, but they never intend on actually carrying those promises out. And that's what the Bible calls those people. It calls them clouds with no water or clouds with no rain. And we talked about, you know, how if we're going to call ourselves Christians or children of God, that we have to keep our word and, you know, not give God or God's people a bad name. You know, Josh preached Sunday on belief systems. And if people believe that they can't trust God because of something that we have done, you know, we promised them something and didn't come through with it, then they're going to blame God for that. Or they're going to blame God's people in the church for that. And they won't have anything to do with God or his people. And, you know, I know a lot of people that won't come to church because they've been hurt by church at some point or another. So that's why it's so important that if we're going to call ourselves God's people, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, then we need to keep our word. We need to be faithful just like God is faithful. And we have to give people an honest answer. We talked about that last week too, when it comes to questions about God. Ever since last week, God has just been speaking to my heart, and Josh hit on it Sunday. DJ talked about it last night at Celebrate Recovery. Last night at Celebrate Recovery, DJ was talking about confession. You know, people need to hear the truth about confession. They don't need to hear a bunch of promises that are not true. They don't need somebody telling them, if you confess all your sins and your bad habits and your shortcomings, that everything's going to be great from now on. You know, that's not the truth. What they need to know that sometimes confession hurts. You know, it's not easy to expose all your secrets and your habits and, you know, the bad things in your life. It's not easy to tell somebody those things. And they need to know that most of the time, there's going to be negative consequences that even after you confess them, you still got to deal with those things. They don't just go away. You know, the bad choices that you've made, you still have to deal with the consequences that came from that. You know, we talk all the time about, you know, when you sow a seed, it eventually grows, whether it's good or bad. And all the bad seeds that we've sown in the past, even after we confess them and come to God with them, there's still going to be consequences for some of us for a long time after we do that. You know, I'm still dealing with things from my past. And I fully gave my heart to Christ 6 years ago. And, you know, I still deal with things on a daily basis. But I thank God that, you know, in my mind, those are things that are already in the past because I've already surrendered them to God. And now I am planting those good seeds and I have hope for the future that lies ahead because I'm not sowing those bad seeds anymore. But people need to know that just because you confess and bring it to God, everything's not okay just that quick. There's still things that have to be taken care of. But they also need to know that when we do bring those things to God and confess them, then it brings healing. You know, it brings forgiveness and it gives us hope. Like I said, I've got hope for my future. I'm living a good life today because of what God has done in my life. And even though I still have to deal with some of those negative consequences that I brought on myself today, I can have hope and just keep planting seeds that are going to give me the future that I wanted so bad back then. You know, today I have that future. I'm living in it. But it took time. And people need to hear the reality of that. It takes time. It's not an instant thing. We live in a society that wants everything just right now. And we can't promise them that. God don't promise them that. You know, we get saved right now. It does say when you surrender your life to Christ and you confess with your mouth that He's Lord, you are saved right then. But getting our lives straightened out, that takes a little while. But like Josh preached on Sunday, if you change your beliefs and start sowing good seeds today, God's Word says you will reap a harvest from that if you stick with it. You know, Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Talking about last night, one of the guys came up to me last night, and he was telling me he's getting his driver's license next week, and that he's been waiting on that for a long time, a couple years that I know of, and he's super excited about it. And I remember how excited I was when I got my license back. I went for like 22 years without mine, and I remember all the excitement I had the day I went and got him. I was like, woohoo! And so I know what he feels like. But he had to wait patiently for him, and I did too. You know, week after week and month after month, he had to go to the probation officer. He had to go through the classes, you know, that were required. He had to pay the fines. So all those bad seeds he sowed, he's having to go through the process of paying for all those things. But he's doing what's right. He's doing what's good, and he's being patient about it. And now next week, he's going to reap the harvest of doing what's right and not giving up and going through that process. And, you know, that's not just in recovery. That's in any area of our lives and in my life. You know, we want instant results, and we don't have the patience to wait for the seeds to grow. We want to bring things to God and want Him to just give us a full-grown plant. You know, it don't work that way. We got to plant the seeds just like they did in the garden down here and wait for them to grow. Things don't change overnight. And that's what I want to talk about tonight is Jesus can help you. And, you know, a lot of people need to just, that's all they need to hear. Jesus can help you. And He will help you. But you got to be patient, and you got to do it His way. There's a verse in Proverbs that I really like. I like the way it says it in the NLT version. In Proverbs 20, in verse 24, it says, "The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way?" There's a lot said right there in that little verse. You know, we don't like that. We want to know the end from the beginning. You know, God says, just trust me and follow me, and I'll get you where you want to go. And I'll get you there in a way that you're not going to do any damage along the way. But we want to bring things to God, and we want them fixed right now. Like I said, we have a problem with patience. But God's saying, you don't need to understand everything. All you need to do is let me direct your next step. You don't have to have the whole map so you can plan your own trip. You know, that's what gets you in the mess that you're in now. God says, trust me and just take the next step that I give you, and I'll get you where you need to be. You don't have to understand everything along the way. And I love this verse too in Proverbs chapter 10. In verse 22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it." And, you know, that's not really talking about making you rich financially. That means He'll get you where you're going without you doing any damage along the way. You know, when we do things God's way, we don't have to worry about negative results. You know, some things, if I deal with them myself on my own, I might get there. But with the shortcuts I made and the people I hurt on the way, by the time I get there, I've done more damage than I have good. And I can't even enjoy being there because I know how I got there and I know what I did on the way getting there. But if we do things God's way, when we arrive at that destination, you know, we don't have any sorrow with it. We don't make all the mistakes that you and I make trying to figure things out on our own. If we just let God lead us through those things. You know, we don't retaliate when people make us mad. You know, we hear the verse all the time, don't repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. And if we're not God in the situation, then most of the time, you know, we do repay evil for evil. That's where all the arguments come from. That's where all the relationships get broke. But if we do things the way and handle them the way God tells us to handle them, then he adds no sorrow with it. And we'll be rich in mercy, rich in grace, rich in the fruits of the Spirit, God says. You know, when we're patient and we do things God's way, it might take more time to get there, but the end result is always lasting, and there's no sorrow with it like we just read. Tonight, I want to share a story with you. As soon as I got done with the message last week, this passage came to mind, and like I said, Josh reminded me of it Sunday, and then DJ reminded me of it last night. But this story, I've been thinking about it all week. It's out of 2 Kings chapter 5. If you've never read that, it's about the Assyrian king and the Israel. At that time, they were invading Israel and taking people. And the story in chapter 5 is focused on a guy named Naaman. And so that's where we're going to pick up on it. Naaman was a captain in the Assyrian army. And the Bible says he was a mighty man of war, but he had leprosy. And one of the raids that that they did on Israel, they brought some captive back to Syria. And they gave one of the young girls that they brought back, an Israelite girl, they gave her to Naaman's wife to be her maid. And then the Israelite girl told Naaman's wife, you know, if we were in Israel, the prophet of God would heal him of his leprosy. So Naaman's wife went and told Naaman what she said. And then Naaman went and told the king of Syria what she said. So the king told Naaman, go see the prophet. Let him heal you. You know, if he can heal you, you have my permission, you can go. And he said, I'll write a letter to the king of Israel so they'll let you in and, you know, nobody will kill you, give you safe passage and all that. So that's where we're going to pick up in the story. I just want to give you some backstory so you wouldn't wondering what was going on. I was going to start in verse 9, but I decided to back up to verse 7 to start there, just because the king of Israel, he was one of those clouds with no water that we talked about last week. He liked to boast about God and how mighty his God was, but he didn't really have any faith himself. He just liked being the king. He didn't have any faith, and we can see that right here in verse 7. It says, when the king of Israel read the letter, that letter I told you about, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, am I God that I can give life and take it away? Because the letter said that he wanted him to heal Naaman from his leprosy. And the king said, what am I supposed to do about it? You know, why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? And then he said, I can see that all he's trying to do is pick a fight with me. So he didn't have the faith in God that he claimed that he had. He was one of those clouds with no water. But the man of God, Elisha, if we go on to verse 8, but when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him and said, why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. Elisha had plenty of faith. He said, send him here, and I'll show him God is real. So what I really want to focus on tonight is Naaman's behavior, though. You know, Josh said, if you change your beliefs, then your behavior will change. And this is the best story I can think of that. So I'm going to read you 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 9 through 15, and then we'll talk about it. In verse 9, it says, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you'll be healed of your leprosy. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me, he said. And that reminds me of us. You know, we get so mad when somebody don't do what we're expecting of them. He expected Elisha to come out of his house and bow down to him because of who he was. But Elisha had so much faith, he's like, just go out there and tell him what God said and he'll be healed. But he didn't like that. He expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. In verse 12, it says, aren't the rivers of Damascus and Abana and the Pharpar better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. And I think that's what a lot of us do. When God don't do the things in the way that we think he should do them, we just get mad and storm off. We don't even give God a chance. We go away offended, and we stay away because things didn't go our way. And, you know, God's not going to change his ways just because we don't like them. It's supposed to be the other way around. We're supposed to change our ways to conform to his, not him conforming to us. You know, if God changed his ways to conform to us, there'd be 8 billion gods in the world. And none of them would be the true God. God is steadfast, and that's why he does not change. In verse 13, it says, but his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, go and wash and be cured. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God, and they stood before him. And Naaman said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. You know, like I said, we are a lot like Naaman. God didn't ask him to do anything hard. You know, even his servant said in verse 13, if you'll go back to verse 13, they said, if he had asked you to do something difficult, you would have been all over it. But you're throwing a fit because he said, go and wash. You know, that's pretty simple to just go and wash. But he didn't do it the way that Naaman wanted him to. You know, we do that a lot, I think. And you're probably sitting there thinking, if I had leprosy, I'd be glad to go wash. I'd be all over it. And I would like to think that I would too. But, you know, we have to ask ourselves, would I really? You know, what about when God wants to do simple things in my life? You know, I don't have leprosy. But what if I'm having an argument with somebody and God just tells me, go tell them you're sorry? You know, and I don't want to do that. That's a simple request on God's part. But a lot of times we do like Naaman. And I'm not doing that. He should come and apologize to me. You know, what if you're arguing with your wife or your husband about something that you're going through? You know, are you going to do it God's way? Are you going to love your wife like Christ loved the church? That's what the Bible says to do. Or are you going to submit to your husband? Like the Bible says, you know, those are really simple things to do. Those are not hard things to do, but just like Naaman, our pride gets in the way. You know, he said, I don't want to wash in the Jordan. I want to wash in the Damascus River or the Abana River or any other river besides that one, because the Jordan River was usually muddy at that time of year, and he didn't want to get in that muddy water. He wanted to do it his way. Like it said in verse 12. Or what if you're struggling in your relationship with God or your children? You know, God says get involved in a small group or a life group or a Bible study or just start reading my word. You know, simple things. God don't ask anything hard from us, but we get stubborn and we don't want to do those simple things. You know, God says get in my word and see what it says about what you're going through. Pray and talk to me about it. Talk to someone else that's godly about it. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that really works. I see that at work every week. That really works when you do that. when we do things God's way, we get results. But we get so stubborn sometimes, even though the instructions are simple, we don't want to follow them. We don't want to inconvenience ourselves and change our schedule to do what God says to do. You know, we come up with all kinds of excuses, but I'm doing this on Wednesday night, or I'm doing this on Tuesday night, or I'm doing this on Thursday night. One thing I love about the story of Naaman, if you'll notice, he had to leave home to go find healing. And in today's society, people don't want to do anything. We just want God to fix it. And God will fix it, but we have to come to Him, and we have to do things His way. We have to trust Him that when I do come to Him, He will help me. It's not that God's not available to help us. You know, Psalm 46:1 says He is a very present help in time of need. It's not that God's not there, it's just that we don't go to Him. And when we do go to Him, we don't want to do things His way. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So we not only have to believe that God is, and that there is a God, we have to believe what He says. We have to believe that the Word of God is true. And if I do this because God says to do it, then it's going to work. And a lot of times we just don't do it. But we have to believe what God says. Josh said Sunday, if we truly believe God, we'll seek Him. And if we believe He will help us, we won't have any problem coming to Him and asking Him for the help. The problem most of the time isn't that we don't believe that God can or God will help us. We're just not willing to make the changes in our lives in order to do things God's way or be obedient. You know, things don't change without changing things. I figured that out real fast in my own life when I was wanting to surrender to God. I wanted the benefits of God, but I didn't want to change anything. I still wanted to do certain things, but I wanted God to do what I wanted Him to do at the same time. But things do not change without changing things. You know, I needed to change things years before long before I believed God and trusted Him enough to do what He said. You know, when I finally believed in my heart that today it's going to be different. Today I'm changing direction and I'm going to trust You, God. And I'm believing that if I don't drink today, You won't let me die. And when I believed that and went out in faith, trusting God, you know, that's the day my life changed. I actually, that day, did what He asked me to do. All before then, I was just asking Him for help, asking Him for help, asking Him for help, but I wasn't making any changes. But today I got up and I decided, okay, God, today I'm making a change and I'm trusting You, I'm going to believe You, and I'm going to do it Your way today. And ever since that day, my life has been different. I didn't die. I actually came to life. And just like Naaman had to wash seven times, you know, I'm still going through a process. It's always going to be a process. Paul says we don't reach a goal here. We strive towards a goal. Our life here is going to be an everyday thing. You know, I still go to meetings every week. I still go to class every week. I still go to small groups every week. And I still stay involved as much as I can in the ministries of the church every week. And now I love doing these things. You know, it wasn't like that at first. I didn't willfully go to CR. I didn't willfully do these things. I did them to start with out of obedience. But once I started seeing the change in my life, I began to trust God. And I knew that change came from the obedience. I started to believe that God is real and He's doing what He said He would do. He was proving it in my life. So if you want to see change in your life, just believe God and start being obedient. And during that obedience, you will see change in your life. You know, like I said, at first, I didn't love doing these things. I was just looking for relief from my suffering, just like Naaman was. And just like so many other people today do. You know, I told you earlier, the title of tonight's message is Jesus Will Help You. And he will help you with a, you know, it don't matter what you're going through, but you have to do it his way. Like Naaman's servants told him, if God had told you to do some great, difficult thing, and then you're healed, you would have done it. But I believe many of us would be quick to do, you know, some great, difficult thing, no matter what it cost. As long as we could do that one thing, no matter what it cost, no matter what it was we had to do, as long as we could go right back to our regularly scheduled lifestyle afterwards. You know, that was my idea. I wish I would, that was my thought. I can do this one great thing and fix my life, and then I can go back to my life. But, you know, that's not the way it works. And deep down, that's what scares us. It's not doing the thing. It's doing the thing from now on. It's creating a lifestyle, a different lifestyle than the one we have. Developing a lifestyle of following God and not just giving him a few minutes or even a few days once in a while or on special occasions, but devoting ourselves to him and committing our lives to God. I think that's what scares most of us, is getting rid of our old lifestyle and starting a new one. But Jesus said that's the way it has to be. In Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, he said to them all, and all includes everybody, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That means my lifestyle has to go. I have to deny myself, take up his cross daily, that's every day, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So we have to be willing to give up our lifestyle. And you may not even have a simple lifestyle. I did. But some people just have a comfortable lifestyle, and they don't want to get out of their comfort zone. And if they have to change something, then they're hard to convince that they're going to change. We have to believe that we're not going to miss out on something. You know, I shared with you before, the biggest fear that I had before surrendering to Christ was giving my life to God and being miserable the rest of my life because I'd miss the things that I used to do. You know, I love the way David put it in Psalm 34 and verse 8. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Just believe the Lord enough to taste him, you know. Take a sample of God. That's what I did, and he is good. And there's nothing about my old life that I miss. You know, I don't miss the drinking. I don't miss the arguing. I don't miss all the junk I used to watch on TV, all the movies and stuff. The things that I thought I would miss, that I just knew that I would miss, I don't even think about those things anymore. And when I hear other people talking about them, I'm like, ugh, man, I'm glad I don't do that anymore. I don't miss those things at all. But you have to believe God enough to truly taste him. And, you know, for me, I was giving God one day. I was like, today I'm going to do it your way. Today I'm not going to do it my way. And I did. But you got to give God enough time to truly taste him and make those changes and watch him do amazing things in your life. You know, go all in and do what he says for a while. And if you're not satisfied, you know, if God's word's not true and he don't do what he says, then don't worry, the world is still there. You know, Proverbs 13 and verse 21, it says, "Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid." So if you're not satisfied, the world's still there. Evil pursues sinners. You won't have to go searching for your old life and try to get it back. It'll come searching for you. And if you're not connected to the vine, it will find you. You have to stay connected to Jesus. That's why a relationship with God can't be wishy-washy. It can't be sporadic. It can't be intermittent. It can't be here and there. It has to be a constant lifestyle of doing things God's way and living every day like we just read in the book of Luke a minute ago. Doing our best to be obedient to him. And in doing that, Jesus will help you, but we have to spend our days with him. You know, he says in John 15 and verse 5, we just covered this a few weeks ago. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, if we're not connected, if we get disconnected from the vine, we can do nothing, Jesus says. We've been doing a study on Thursday nights, and the name of the study is by Max Lucado. It's called Unshakable Hope, and it's about living in and believing in the promises of God. I think Josh said Sunday there's over 7,000 promises of God, and this book only covers 12 of them, but that's what we've been studying on Thursday night. And one of those promises was in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. It says, and if we're children of God, if we're connected to the vine and living the way that God intends for us to live and being obedient to him, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So we are heirs of God. And there was a story when we were doing that week's study on being heirs of God. That story of Naaman reminded me of this one. There's a guy, I bet nobody's heard of him in here. His name was Timothy Henry Gray. I'd never heard of him either. But Timothy Henry Gray, they found him dead in Wyoming. He was 62 years old. He was homeless. He was broke. And they found him froze to death under an overpass in Wyoming. You know, that's a horrible, horrible way to die. You know, he was alone. He was freezing. He was hungry. He was broke. He didn't have nobody, no food, not a dollar to his name. But what he didn't know was that his great-grandfather was a well-off copper miner and a railroad builder. He was the founder of Las Vegas. So Timothy's great-grandfather was the guy that founded Las Vegas. And Timothy Henry Gray was the heir to the fortune. He was the heir to Las Vegas. But he died believing he was broke and had nobody and nothing. And I think there's a lot of Christians living like that. They think nobody cares. They think God don't care. And like Josh said Sunday, if you don't believe God loves you, you're not going to be looking for the promises. You're not going to be asking God for help. You're not going to be coming to his people for help. But John 3:16 says God loves the whole world. It says he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have to believe God loves us. And we got to believe God loves us so much that no matter what he asks me to do, it's not going to hurt me. It's going to be better for me if I do things God's way. So if we just believe that God loves us, that it by itself will change your life. If you just believe that there is a God that loves you and died for you. You know, I keep saying it. Jesus can help you. People need to hear that. But in order for Jesus to help you, we have to do things his way. And we have to believe that Jesus will help me and make the changes that are necessary to be obedient to him. You know, if your life is anything like mine was, you'll have to make some changes to be obedient. You can't live in sin and serve God at the same time. But like I said, maybe you don't have a simple life at all. Maybe you just have a comfortable life. Sometimes we have to give up our comfort to be obedient to God too. So I'm not standing up here calling everybody sinners. But if you want Jesus' help, we have to live a life of obedience to be an heir of God. And to claim the promises of God. And just like Naaman, even though he didn't want to, and he argued about it at first, when he was obedient to God, God was faithful. And God kept his promise and he cleansed him of that leprosy. And he came out of that Jordan River, the Bible says, with skin like a baby. And then he proclaimed that God is the one true God. So we need to just believe that God loves you and be willing to change your lifestyle like Naaman did. You know, he had to leave home. He had to leave his comfort zone and make some changes in order to be where God told him to be. And we have to stop. Another thing Josh said Sunday, we need to quit focusing on our behavior. Just show up and do what God asked you to do and say, well, here I am, God. This is what I have. This is the real me. Now what do I do? And like we read earlier in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 24, when we do that, when we come to God with the real me, not the fake me, and tell God, this is what I have. I don't know what to do. I need some help. I need some guidance. Then God will show you the next step. He won't show you all of them, but he will show you the next step. And when you take that step, he'll show you the next one. And when you take that step, he'll show you the next one. Just like the guy I was talking about getting his license back. You know, he got step-by-step instructions. I need you to go every week and see your probation officer. Then after a few months, okay, now you can go every month and see your probation officer. And while you're still seeing him, we need you to go to this class. When you finish that class, we need you to do this class. And when you finish those classes, we need you to pay these fines. And you go through the process. Every step God lays before you, take the next step, and he'll show you the next one. And before you know it, you can look back and your behavior has changed. My behavior has changed. You know, Naaman got healed. God created a new heart in me and showed me how to live a life I didn't have a clue how to live. You know, the guy I was talking about is getting his driver's license. If we just take the next step and let God show us the next one and keep doing that out of obedience, we'll see the change. Like I said, it won't be instant, but if we do it God's way, he'll get us where we want to go, and he'll do so without us making a wreck of things on the way. And not only does our behavior change, our circumstances change because we're doing the right thing, like we read in Galatians. And if we don't grow weary, we'll wind up with a godly lifestyle. And the only thing we did was take one step at a time, doing the right thing as God shows us, you know, the next step. And that's what it takes. It takes step by step and just doing things in obedience, God's way. I don't believe you can change a lifestyle any other way than believing and trusting God with each step. But you got to be willing to make that first one. And if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't surrendered your life to him, that is the first step in following God. So if you haven't done that, I urge you to do that. In Romans chapter 10, it tells you how to do that in verses 9 and 10. You know, if you're at home by yourself, you don't have to be with anybody. You can get saved right there, just you and God. If you'll get in the book of Romans in chapter 10, in verse 9, it says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And in verse 10, it says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you believe that in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then when you tell other people, I have surrendered my life to Christ, then you're made unto salvation. You know, God gives you eternal life. So just take that step. And if that's your first step, then God will show you the next one. That's exactly how he changed my life, was one step at a time. You know, I knew where I wanted to be, and I tried all different kinds of ways to get there, but every time I tried to get there on my own, I made a wreck of it. And if that's your story, if you're struggling, you keep on fighting, but you're not getting where you want to be, but you just do what it says in Galatians 6:9. Just keep doing what's right. Keep sowing those seeds, taking that next step, and don't grow weary. And in doing that, if you'll do it long enough, you will reap a harvest. The Bible promises that. God promises that. It says in due season we will reap if we faint not. So just trust God and keep taking that next step. And just as important as doing the right thing in each next step, don't do the wrong thing. you know, we all know what the wrong thing is too. And that took me sideways more times than I care to admit. You know, I'd be going really good, taking a good step, a good step, a good step, and then a temptation would come along and I would step aside. And, you know, when God brings it to your attention that you shouldn't do that, then listen to the Holy Spirit and don't do it. Do what God shows you is right and do it as long as God tells you to, and you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Just like that guy's getting his driver's license next week. You know, it'll take some time, but you will have a different lifestyle if you just do things God's way a little bit at a time. But that's all he laid on my heart this week, and that's exactly how he changed my life, and he will change yours too if you'll just do it his way. But thank y'all for coming out, and thank you for watching online. If you're watching online, let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. I hope you have a good rest of your week. Father, thank you for the message that you gave me. I thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have done in my life. I thank you for the changes. I thank you for the lifestyle that you've given me. I thank you for the people you surrounded me with. And Lord, I just pray for everybody that hears this message that you would give them the courage, Lord, to just come to you as they are and start taking that next step that I know you'll give them. Father, I love you and I thank you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.